Welcome to Christ Today. We have a lot to struggle with in life. I think of Ephesians 6:12, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Lord, protect us and guide us as we go through the troubles that we have in life. Let us seek you and have the wonderful relationship with you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. Oh, there's a lot to learn. There is a lot in the Bible to teach us what is going on. And I think of what is going on in the world. I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:3, where it talks about, when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. And what do we see going on around us? Do we want peace and safety? Is that what we are trying to have? Well, a few people can see that that is what we want, and that we are in a time when these days are going to bring surprises to the whole of mankind, to every one of us. And it will hit us one way or another. And yet we pray to do God's will in the midst of it. Speaking about hitting one way or another, it reminds me of Mike Tyson. And he said something like, everyone has a plan until they get hit in the face. And that's kind of like how we go through life too. We want our things to happen the way we want them to happen. We have a plan, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it just hits us in the face, and we get surprised, we get tired, we get where we want to break from the things that are really goes on, and reality shows up. Sometimes in a wonderful way, and sometimes it is such a surprise. It is a pattern. It is what goes on in the world. In the world, we have struggles. We have, well, just look what's going on. We have wars, rumors of wars. We have people who are going through hunger and starvation even, and to have pestilence and there are earthquakes going on. There are volcanoes going on all over the world. And yet we want all the things that are wonderful. Wonderful. We know we have Jesus. And still we want the things that are easy and righteous. So we strive for them and we tell people about the good news of the gospel as we go through life. Lord, protect us, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, many things are going on in the world. We have things that we imagine, things that we think of, and things that are right to imagine. And they're wonderful and good. And yes, Lord, we pray that you watch after us and keep us in that wonderful place in this world where we are comfortable and preaching the good news of the gospel. Well, there are people all over the world who have it good and wonderful, and there are people all over the world that have tragedy in life. They are robbed and even beaten up. Now, that's something we have going on now in our country. People have been broken and bleeding and left on the streets. That's how the country is changing, not permanently, but it is something that goes on. We know that the streets are not safe. We know that 100 years ago, people left their houses unlocked. People left their keys in the ignition of their cars. And now times have changed. We have a different understanding of what is going on with life, with the dangers, and what our expectations are. We have still a desire for everything that we want. And that's so natural. That's the way it's always been. People have always wanted what they want. But today we have many, many blessings from the way it was 100 or 1,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord. Well, we have impressions about how things go with what we can expect in America with freedom and liberty and compassion for us and for other people. America has a history of being led by wonderful people, pastors and presidents. But today things have changed. We have a different form of people that lead us. It's reminding me of ancient days when there were Caesars and kings and pharaohs and the czars of Russia, the kings of England, France, and Spain. Things have changed. We see how there was struggles all through history. And, well, we have a different form of struggle. Things are different now, and there have always been taxes that the king would expect from all the people. So that's something which the powers that be want your tax money, and they want your children to work for them or to be a part of their army. That is something that is so much a part of life. It always has been, ever since the days of Israel, before Jesus and after Jesus. It's just the way it is. But we have a chance to make things different in America. America is a different kind of a country with pastors and presidents that help us to see what is around us. We even have people who want to defend America. In the early days, they were called Minutemen. And now they would be called soldiers, or they would be called citizen soldiers. And we can only imagine if we can keep our freedom or not. Remember Benjamin Franklin when he was asked, what kind of a government do we have? He said, a republic, if you can keep it. And now, so few people even know what a republic is. So few people have read the Constitution. And so few people can tell you what the Bill of Rights are. And we have things that have evolved over time. We expect things that we want. We want freedom and prosperity. But it took a long time to build a country that could provide that. We just kind of forget. We forget that we have God to thank for all that he has created and all that he continues to do on this earth and in our life. We do have many wonders in life that we are just grateful for. We thank God for the many blessings that we have. And we have an eternity in that heavenly place, and that's what we want to choose. We want to be faithful to God in all that he asks, so we have a heavenly place and not a place in hell. So we have everybody has one lifetime here on earth, and we have the ability to make a decision for Jesus Christ and to commit to Jesus Christ and to be faithful according to what his Bible says. So do we read the Bible to see what is expected of us? Most of us are comfortable to have someone else tell us what the Bible says. We might have a neighbor, a family member, a priest, a pastor, a person who say they have read the Bible and they can tell you about it. But if you want the best truth that you can get, you read the Bible yourself and you commit to following Jesus. We are all soldiers in a battle. Well, I'm using that analogy of following Jesus Christ and presenting his good work and his example to the world so that we can follow it as followers of Christ. But we have things going on that are confusing. They occupy our attention in the world. We have amazing, wonderful things going on. We have tensions and struggles going on, and they kind of distract us from following God of the Bible. We have digital, amazing things going on. Again, that can be a distraction. Or do we use the digital world to help us to present Jesus Christ to people? We all make a choice, and we all choose in life what we do. I'm not saying that you are doing it right or wrong. I'm just saying that we all make a choice, and we want to live that choice in our mind and in our heart so that we can say or demonstrate it to people and to Christ when we are in judgment. And we all have a limited time on earth. And that was sure brought to me when I had my accident and a car accident, and I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. That was really something. One of the things that was such a surprise to me was the fellow in the bed next to me. He constantly blasphemed the name of God. And once I said something to him, and he said, "Oh, God and Jesus, there's nothing more important." But that didn't stop him from the words coming out of his mouth. I'm sure he was a nice man. He loved his family, and his sons would come to visit him every day. That was, well, okay. A part of that experience was that I typically woke up early. But on this morning, I woke up between 5 and 6 and heard these strange animal noises in my brain. I couldn't understand it. I asked God, "What was this?" and asked him to take it away. But for a whole hour, I heard these animal noises, howling, growling, barking. And after an hour, they went away. I went to sleep for a brief time. And when I woke up, I think it was half an hour later, I had the nurse taking me into the next room. Nobody would tell me what happened, but I'm pretty sure the fellow in the bed next to me passed into the next life. Kind of scary. That's how life can go. It can go real quick, or it can go real slow, and we don't know how it will really be for us, but we want to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And that is what I want to remind you. Read that Bible and try to understand what it is from God that you need to do in your life. Commit to Jesus. And that's something which I say we all should do. So please read that part of the Bible and understand. Obviously, there's people who can tell you. People have read the Bible. Pastors and priests have read the Bible, and they will tell you. I just think we get so much more out of the understanding when we read the Bible ourselves. So that's what I am suggesting to everyone, is read the Bible yourself and get that understanding. Now, we have things in the Bible that are lessons for this life. God gives us teaching and lessons for this life. Now, we want to have wonderful things going on with hope, and that our government will take care of us, that our families will take care of us, that the people around us will be respectful. And a lot of times that happens, but we certainly know it is not always that way. And we even know that the systems of the world can be strong, or they can fail. And I'm thinking of Genesis chapter 47, around verse 15. It was when money failed in ancient Egypt. And this is something that history repeats. The Bible themes repeat. So we want to know what it is to follow God through Jesus Christ. And there are examples in the Bible of the people who do. So what we find as we look in life and look in the Bible, that just like I said, Genesis 47:15, When money failed in ancient Egypt. And when I think about that, I think about the last 100 years where money has failed. Well, before that too. But in the last 100 years, we are more familiar with it because it's more like in our time frame with Germany, with Austria. And recently, like in the last 20, 30 years, other monies have failed. Russia, Argentina. Well, there have been great big, not just failures, but declines in the value of money. So when I think of that, when money fails, I think of it as a repeating theme in history. Yes, from maybe 100 years ago, and yes, from maybe 20 years ago. It's a theme that happens, and so we know the truth of God. What he tells us has happened and will happen. And that's the part of we want to be prepared with, what will happen. So what will happen? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell us what will happen. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes. These things we can see going on now and then in the world. And so we expect they will continue. Do you think God tells us this so that we just do nothing and wait for wars and pestilence and famine? Or do you think God tells us that this is coming our way so that we can prepare to have our economy, our personal family economy prepared for a time of difficulty, that we can have food for the famine that is coming? It's something which I know we all have to examine for ourselves and figure out what are we going to do in a world where everybody wants to tell us what to do, whether they're the ruling authority, the government, the kings, the people in our life who say they know the best way. So are we going to follow them and do what they tell us to do? Or are we going to seek God, ourself, when he tells us about these things? What can we do to be wise to deal with what is coming? Now, it is happening all over the world, and it is also happening right here in America. Will America struggle? Will it weaken? And will it crash? Just like, oh, look at the countries around the world. Even right now, the strong countries with a million or a billion people, they are having such difficulties. There are countries with financial crashes, societal crashes, where morality is gone. And that's a common complaint about China, that the people no longer help each other. They talk about seeing a person fallen down on the streets and nobody will help. They talk about people starving, even the old people, and nobody helps. They talk about that happening in America, in Europe, in other countries. We are losing an element of humanity that has always existed where we cared for our neighbors. And that is in Matthew 22:37. Love God and love your neighbors as yourself. So are we loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul? Are we loving our neighbors as ourselves? It's something which we are told to do, and we find out ways to do it as life goes on. As we deal with life here in America, where things are changing, not just in America, all over the world. Society is changing. Morality is changing. The schools are not teaching what they used to. The young people are not learning to the respect that they used to. Cultures are changing all over the world and in America too. We have the American government changing. The people in government, well, there used to be an element of morality. Well, there still is. But some people do not even pay attention to that element of morality, and they do what they want to. That's something that goes on right now. And you can look at the posts that are going on at high levels of government. Tulsi Gabbard, for instance, is talking about all the corruption that has occurred, you know, 5-10 years ago, and how there were people who were in a cabal. They were in a conspiracy against the people of America to get what they wanted, to have the government help them along with what they wanted. Quite a difference from the Bible, huh? Where the Bible tells about what's going on, and it tells about how to overcome it. Well, Ephesians 6:10, that we have things going on, and we want to protect ourselves by putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:10, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which everybody says is the Word of God, and we can see that that is true. So we have things going on where we need protection from what is going on around us, with the angry people, with the people who want what we have and are willing to take it from us, or even kill Americans just to get what they want. So we have things going on. We have to realize there is an enemy, and our enemy is really not of flesh and blood. It is with powers and principalities, but it is also with flesh and blood, because that is what we see on the streets around us, where people are getting robbed and worse and beaten and everything. So we want peace and safety, and that's First Thessalonians 5:3, where when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. And we think about what that could be. Could be an international war, a world war. It could be a civil war. And it could be just people who want to see the destruction of America. And more than a few people are wondering, now, what shall we do in these days when so much is going on around us? Can we protect ourselves? Or what about our leaders? Will our leaders protect us? Oh, we cry out, Lord, Lord, protect us. And in many ways, he does. And we cry out to our leaders, leaders, put policemen on the ground and protect us from the violence that is going on around us. And we know that there can be weapons of war, which would be nuclear, that could suddenly hit us also. So we have this going on, and we want protection. I think a part of what we do is we protect ourselves with water, food, and warmth. And we have to know that there can be a challenge to us, a contest against America. And this is something that we want to be prepared for also, just knowing that we have an enemy out there. The enemy, yes, is not of flesh and blood. It is spiritual, but it is also flesh and blood. And we ought to be prepared in every way that we can to make sure that we remain faithful to God through Jesus Christ. And this is the part of what we do. We put on the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. This is something we can remember as time goes on. And what do? We have an impression that people give us, and sometimes it is that we have to protect ourselves, and sometimes it is an impression that we have to be kind and give to other people. Both are correct. We just have to do it at the right timing. So God guide us and help us understanding the timing. America wants freedom, and every one of us also want freedom. We want to be led correctly. And we think of the pastors and the presidents who have been decent men in the country. And still we have things going on. We know the history. The history is that many times it was people who were not moral who led the country or led other countries. Think of the kings. Think of the pharaohs and the Caesars around the world. We have things going on, and we want to reflect the righteousness of God as we live and show the people around us love, using wisdom as we show them kindness. We have to use the wisdom of God, too, and that can be to stay careful and to protect ourselves. That's just another part of it. As we live in this world with so much going on, we can imagine the wonderful parts, and that's good, but it's not all wonderful imaginings. We do want to have dreams. We do want to have a plan that can be wonderful and lift the spirit of mankind up. But we also know that we face dangers in this world, which are, well, I can say spiritual, but I can also say that they are physical. And we do have dangers of every kind. And we want to be careful because we have an enemy. An enemy, Satan, that wants us to believe a lie. Just as he has always done, we can see that he has told lies to people like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And part of what he says is truthful. Just like he said, if you eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be as God. And in a way, that is true. And certainly in a way, it is not. But we are told about something that will get our attention and change our course away from God. That's what Satan wants. And he wants us to follow our own selfish desires. Now, we have things going on all over the world that are dangerous to us. We have them in our very life when we have people who do not have our best interest in mind. We have, in fact, they want what we have, whatever it is, the goodness and righteousness that we have, the wealth that we have. And that is quite similar for the country of America, where we have people around the world who want the riches of America, and they plot and scheme to get it. And here we are in the last days when we have words going on in the media, in the news, and they remind us that, well, not everything is good and that we have a struggle going on. It is amazing to hear the people who say that things are going to crash real soon. And they could, but the people who predict it, oh, I think every month this year there has been somebody who says, next month is going to be a crash. And you know what? So far they have not been correct, but they might be one day. Well, we have a world that is, in a way, crashing because we have natural disasters going on. Earthquakes and volcanoes and fires and floods. These are all going on. And I've heard people say, why would God do this? Well, maybe it's what we do to ourselves, and maybe it is an active hand of the devil doing these things. But whatever it is, we do have to know that there are going to be people in need, and it could be us in need too. Therefore, we want to have a number of things that will help us to survive or even to thrive. And we have to be alive to talk to other people who are also alive so that we can tell them about the good news in the Bible. That means we want to have water and food and warmth so that we are alive and they are alive. And therefore, there can be a discussion about Christ who loves us and who strengthens us. Of course, there's people who are not, well, they're not decent people, and they will starve, cheat, and steal from you. And with all these things going on, these natural disasters around the world with I'm thinking of the houses and the bridges that have been washed away in the floods. And I think that so often, especially with the building projects from China that use inferior steel and inferior concrete that do not stand up, they break down. And so there have been buildings that crash, bridges that fall down, and people that are hurt and killed all over the world. Because people are selfish and they want the money, but they don't want to deliver the product. It's always happened. We've had hundreds of years of people willing to deliver a faulty product and charge the best price that they can. And lives are lost because of it. All over the world, there are accidents and people lose their lives. So we want to protect against that. And that is one of the wonderful things about our system in America. We watch out for things and we have buildings and houses and bridges that are done to good standards. And we thank the government for that part of it too. Now, sure, the government can be overbearing. It can even lie to the people. There have been problems. We know that. And so we all have to be on our watchful attention and be careful that we are not lied to or cheated. And that's what we do. We use our good knowledge and to make sure that things are proper. In a world where there's lots of cheating and stealing going on. And we do have cheating. We do have troubles at every level of society, including in our government. In our government, we a few years ago, 8 or more or less years ago, we had a number of people in the intelligence community and at the highest levels of government that wanted to cheat the system and cheat the people out of their vote. And they did. They worked with deceit and guile, and they did that. So here we are, we're trying to figure out how we can survive in tough times. And we always have to remember the basics of survival. Water, food, and warmth, to be a loving community, and to be guided by our Bibles and have joy in our heart from the hymnals. That's something I think is so important to getting along in this world, as we have our essentials. We have our essentials with water and water filters, food of every kind. Rice and beans is good, but there's plenty of dehydrated food that is excellent also. So that's what we want to do, is we have water stored up in case we have our water service fail. And by the way, that has happened around the world. Oh, just now there's two places, one in Iran, one in Afghanistan. And their major cities are out of water. No more water. That happened in Mexico City a few years ago, like 4. And so the people had to buy their water from water trucks. The water truck would come along and people would fill a 5-gallon pail or a 1-gallon. And that's how they got their water for drinking, for food cooking, and even for washing. This happens in the world, and we want to be good stewards of what we have and have a supply for the just in case things go difficult. So have your essentials so that you can live a few days. Now, so many people in the government tell the citizens to have 3 days of food and water. I remember talking to emergency personnel. Part of it was with Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and part of it was just other personnel that have to do with emergencies. And they will say, this is a general consensus that everybody should have 3 weeks of food and water. And like I would ask them, how does anybody have 3 weeks of water? And they said, well, you just do it. It's important to you. And then you also have a way of filtering the water so that you can drink it. Well, that's what some of the people with the Office of Emergency Services say. And if you can see that the people around you have had emergencies, you might want to be prepared for emergencies also, because there have been crises. And then the people who have a clean gallon of water will sell it at a huge profit. If you could buy a gallon of water for $1, they might sell it for $5 or $10. Oh, and that happened with the gasoline too. If gasoline cost $1 a liter, they would sell it for $10 to $15 a liter. That is just what happened when there was a crisis. And you can do something to stabilize your fuel, and keep your water and food for the just in case. Everybody does it. And if you think about the millions of people, I just said Kabul, Afghanistan, 4 million people there, and 9 million people in Mexico City. And there are places in America that have had their water contaminated, and it was affecting millions here in America too, after an event, and maybe after a hurricane. Water gets contaminated. After floods, water gets contaminated. And you have to either go to the store and buy gallons of water, or you have to filter and clean it yourself. So that's something that we all do when we think of water, food, and warmth. Think of our supplies. Think of our community, the people around you, and how you can help one another. To help one another, it really is a benefit if you have a few things on hand that you can help other people with. Now, it might be a cup of sugar. It might be a gallon of gas. But whatever it is, let's think about preparing so that we can help people who are not prepared. They might even be in danger of death. And yes, there are crises that come along in our neighborhood and in the world, and we want to be a part of showing the love of God to the people around us. Now, there are lots of people who have an anger in their heart and they want to conquer the people around them. Yeah, and I just thought of Iran that announced that the Kaibar missile that they are preparing so that they can send it to other countries around them. They say America, they say Israel, and you never know what could happen. All you know is they are threatening, and we want to be prepared. China has been threatening America for a long time. They have tried to infiltrate our computer systems, the water systems in America. There was something like 600 cyber attacks on the San Diego water system. Now, that was just one case. Oh, that was in this year, 2025. And there have been attacks on different systems, from the Pentagon to the local water districts, that have gone on. And that just makes you know we have to be careful with having the things in case we have a missile attack or an EMP attack or a drone attack. These are all ways that are considered in unrestricted warfare. Oh, Unrestricted Warfare was a book that was, oh, it's 20 years old now, and that was distributed to all the Chinese army people in that time. Unrestricted warfare against an enemy. And who is an enemy of China? If you guess America, you sure would have a good guess. So we have things that we want to be aware of so that we can protect us and our neighbor and know that the systems can go down anytime. We have a choice about how we're going to live and what we're going to do with our life and our habits and how we're going to think about protecting ourselves and how we're going to belong to God, our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, and be born again in the Spirit of God. We all have a Bible that we can read that can tell us how to belong to Christ Jesus and to have a place in heaven with our eternal life. Now that's something which takes a little looking, and I say look, because when this life is over, well, we certainly know that we have life on earth. We don't know if we have a chance after we die to choose heaven or not. But we know we have a choice right now here on earth. And it's a good time to have your life reflect the will of God here on earth. So read God's Bible. Amen. As we deal with things on earth that concern us, sometimes there's just a lot of problems. We see the things going on. When we see the insects in the world dying, we see the bee colonies dying. They say 60% of America's bee colonies have died. And what that means is that we would not be able to have crops reproduce. And we depend on all of our crops, yes, of wheat, yes, of fruit, yes, of all sorts of things. And if we do not have bees, our crops will not be growing. And so it's a matter of let's get some supplies. Of course, rice and beans is a staple. But so is wheat, and we can get other things like sorghum, like rice, like rye. There are many different things that we can have, and we can make bread with them. And to make bread, it sure helps to have a fire or an oven. I say get a Dutch oven, which is a cast iron pot with a lid. You can make all sorts of things in a Dutch oven. If you want, get two of them. Are they expensive? I don't know. Is $50 to $100 expensive? Oh, but what if you didn't have it and you needed it? You would say $50 to $100 is well worth the price. I should get two of them. You should probably get two stoves and several 5-gallon bottles of propane. It's for the just in case. You can always sell it. You can always use it yourself. But if you need it and don't have it, it's pretty tough. If you don't have gas for your car to bring your propane bottles to the car, to the store to have them refilled, it's all a matter of getting things so that you have them now. Whether it's work gloves and screwdrivers and hammers, screws and nails, a carpenter saw, all these things make a difference. I do suggest a battery-operated drill that is rechargeable. And if you're concerned about having your drill recharged, what if the electricity goes down? Well, get a solar panel or two, and then get an inverter so that you can charge your 6-volt, your 12-volt batteries, and have the 12 volts get converted into 120 volt for your appliances and your recharging. It's a good idea. So do it now while you can. The supplies are available. If we ever have an emergency, you will find all of those things disappear. One other thing to get if there is an emergency is potassium iodide. If we have a nuclear accident or event, to take the potassium iodide will fill up your thyroid gland with good iodine. But if you get iodine from the explosion or event that happens around you, and if that bad iodine gets absorbed by your thyroid gland, it will kill your thyroid gland in a few weeks. And I don't think you can ever have it recover. It just means that for the rest of your life, you'll have to take the medicine along with your meals so you can digest them. Maybe you can do something to boost your thyroid gland, but your thyroid gland does a whole lot to help other glands in your body. So protect your thyroid gland with potassium iodide. You can buy it for $50 if you want, and that'll protect you in case there is a nuclear event. Now, it doesn't mean that it's permanent protection, but it will help you for the few weeks that you need to take it. Read the instructions, have a copy of them, because if you have a child that needs potassium iodide to protect their thyroid gland, you want to do it according to their schedule, according to the weight of the child. And that's something you would record before a nuclear accident or event happens. And right now, there are plenty of things that are saying there might be a war. There might be a nuclear event. That just means we all ought to get prepared for just in case there is something that we don't expect. A few weeks ago, months ago, there was something called the Genius Act that was supported and signed into law by the Congress, the Senate, and our president. All of them signed this Genius Act into law, and it gives the United States of America a stable coin or currency. And it's something which could turn into a different system. It could turn into a beast system. I don't know that it will, but it could. What if it was required for you to pay your taxes with that stable coin? What if you had to have a stable coin if you wanted to receive benefits, whether they were Social Security, unemployment, or food stamps? They can do whatever they want. They can say, if you want this and that, you have to get a stablecoin account. It's not the mark of the beast, is it? I don't think so. But if it requires everyone to get whatever it is, or you won't get your benefits, it sure is pointing to a beast kind of a system. And one day we will have to figure out what we are going to do so that we can avoid a beast system. And right now, with the tensions in the world, with China and Russia, well, it's been over a year now, but they still have threatened to use nuclear weapons on the United States. Is it a credible threat? I think we all have to answer that for ourselves and then figure out what should we do if it really is a threat. Do the nuclear submarines around Russia or around the USA make a difference? Russia has them, United States has them, and also other countries have them. So are we going to be concerned about if there was a war, if the aircraft carriers are going to make some maneuvers, what about the war planes or the battleships? There are many avenues that can affect us. Where there is talk of war and there is talk of peace. And there are cyber attacks happening right now against America. Every day, there is a concern about if our systems will be infiltrated. Government systems, military systems, and water systems. Will our electrical grid be brought down? There are too many questions, and it only makes sense to me for everyone to have the basics of survival. Water, food, and warmth. That will keep our life going for a while. And with so much going on in the world, in China, yes, in other countries, and we have some other things in America too, but it is happening on a different scale. So we have concerns. We have knowledge that things could happen, that the electrical supply could be not just affected or impacted, but it could be brought down. And so we want to see what we can do to protect the things that we need. And that is for every one of us to decide. So EMP would be by man. A CME, coronal mass ejection, would be by the sun. Electromagnetic pulse by man. Coronal mass ejection by the sun. These things are all possible for us to lose electricity completely. Will it happen? Nobody knows, but we know it could. And we know that we would have a hard time living without a refrigerator or a phone. And it's something which we have to just know that there could be a catastrophic event, and the results of that would be very uncertain. But if that were to happen, we still remember the commandments of God, like the great commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the great commandments of God, no matter what happens. If life continues easily and comfortably, or if life has a threatening set of circumstances around it, we still want to remember God's great commandment and what God tells us to do with our heart, our mind, and our soul. We do want to be thankful for the people around us, for our family, for our wife, our husband, the people around us as a church family. We want to be thankful for every one of them and remember to pray to God for his protection on these people around us. Our prayers are very important. And I learned that when I was in the hospital. I will pray like never before. I never realized. When I found that people were praying for me and my healing was going beyond what was expected, I have to attribute it to the prayer that was going on. And that just was completely sensible to me. As we go on through the things that are going on in our country, which are difficulty, there is all sorts of things happening that are not nice. There are even challenges to our power in our country, and we get to figure out how are we going to deal with the threats around us, the countries who want to take advantage of us, and the people that want what we have and are willing to rob, steal, and cheat just to get what we have because they want them. It's something that has been going on since the beginning of time, and it still is. And we have to remember how to use wisdom as we protect ourselves in a godly way, and do it with love. And that's a part of godliness. And we want to remember to give God glory for all the things that are going on around us, even as people are, they're robbing and stealing and cheating. They're leaving the countries that are oppressing them, and they're coming to a more free country like America, but they still have habits that they have brought with them, and we have to be careful and show them love as they express love to us, and again, do it wisely. The people who have left China with lots of gold, they have been threatened by China and the systems there, and they are taking their valuables with them. And often that means their gold. That is portable. It is condensed wealth. And that's something, speaking of China, there are 5 to 10 billionaires that are leaving China every night. Early in the morning, they have private planes. And how do I know? Well, I hear the reports, I read the reports, I hear people speak about what's going on. And so I don't have it from first-hand knowledge, but I have it from the people who talk about it going on in China. We have things going on in the world where we have an instability, where we have people struggling to survive. And this is something, they are coming to our neighborhood, and we want to deal with the people with love. And yet with wisdom. As we struggle with supplies, we want to have things in our home which will be good for eating and drinking, drinking like with a water filter or two, and for eating, a grain grinder to grind up our wheat and other grains so that we can make bread. There are all a matter of things that we can do as we learn how to get along and live. For us and the ones that are our loved ones. And we ask for guidance in Jesus' name, because there are going to be changes around us which we just don't know. And sometime we will need to protect ourselves, just like we have a military and a police to protect ourselves. And just like Switzerland. Switzerland has, every family has a rifle in Switzerland. And I don't know that it will ever come to that in America, but it sure could. And the Bible does talk about that, Luke 22:38. So, to get a sword, every two is enough, but get a sword. So, when we are dealing with the things around the world, there's lots of concerns that we have. And I don't know that I can tell you every concern. All I know is that I want you to be wise and prepared and consider what you might need to do and have as time goes on. Do pray. Do ask the Lord what to do and read about it in the Bible. Stay prepared using wisdom. Get my free preparedness pamphlet by going to sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. God bless you. Pray and be loving to the people around you. Amen.